Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for this time that you've given us to meet together, for this book that you've given us to meet about. And I pray that as it's preached tonight, that you would use this time to speak to our hearts. You would encourage us and instruct us and just do in our lives what needs to be done. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night that they make that decision to receive him. Just bless the remainder of the service. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to start tonight where I left off this morning. This morning I spoke on the subject, there is a hell. There is a hell. And I ended my message by saying, since there is a hell, there's three things that ought to happen. There's three things that ought to happen since there is a hell. Number one, since there is a hell, all preachers and all churches ought to preach it. Everywhere, men and women, boys and girls ought to be warned that there is a hell, and it's a place for all those that don't believe in Christ. Since there is a hell, number two, every Christian ought to be a soul winner. Every Christian ought to tell people about Jesus. Hell is real. And if you care, and if you believe that it's real, then you'll be a soul winner. You'll tell other people about Christ. Since there is a hell, number three, every person ought to get saved. And as I said this morning, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, then you just need to admit to God that you're a sinner. Tell him you know there's a penalty for that sin. Tell him that you believe that Jesus died for that penalty when he went to Calvary, and receive him. The Bible says in John 1:9, But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So that's where I ended this morning. Now, I want to go back to point two. Since there is a hell, every Christian ought to be soul winners. Every Christian ought to find some way to tell somebody about Jesus. And the best example that I know of people that brought others to Jesus is found here in Mark chapter 2. And again, as I mentioned, we were in this passage of Scripture a few weeks ago. I preached on the subject, raise the roof. Raise the roof. And again, tonight, I want to look at it from a different perspective. These four guys that brought this man to Jesus were winners. They succeeded in what they set out to accomplish. They saw this one sick of the palsy and they said, man, if we can get him to Jesus, Jesus can help him. They got him to Jesus and Jesus accomplished. Now, I think he, as he always does, he always does more than we expect him to do. I think they expected to get him to Christ and have Christ deal with his spiritual condition and get to know him. The one sick of the palsy, get to know Jesus as his personal Savior. And then when Jesus said, hey, and when the Pharisees and the scribes says, who is this guy that's forgiven sin? Who does he think he is? God. Jesus said, yes, I am God. I'll show you I'm God. Because just as easy as I can say to this one, your sins are forgiven, I can say, take up your bed and walk. And so he said, take up your bed and walk. And I think that was icing on the cake to these four guys. They not only got their friend, this one they brought to Christ, saved, they got him healed. And his life was completely changed from that moment on. I mean, he was sick of the palsy. He couldn't move his body. And the moment he met Christ, and the moment that he received that, not only his salvation, but his healing, his life was changed. Now, I want to speak to you tonight that we need to be winners in the same way. We need to get people to Christ, because Jesus will do the same thing for people today that he did for this one sick of the palsy. First of all, he'll save them. He'll get their sins taken care of. He'll get them into heaven. Praise God, there ain't nobody else that can do that. I know it ain't very good English, but it sure is good preaching. There ain't nobody else that can do that but the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get to heaven by the church. You don't get to heaven by baptism. You don't get to heaven by confessing to some other man or taking the sacraments. The only way that you get to heaven is come by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we get people to Jesus, he'll save them. He says, I will in no wise cast out those that come to me. And so he'll save them. But he does more than that. He'll change their life. Now, it may not be as dramatic as happened in this person's life. I mean, here he was, he couldn't move, paralyzed, and he was able to get up and walk and go about life. It may not be that dramatic, but I guarantee you that once Jesus saves the person, he'll change that life. We sing that song sometimes. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And every single one of us, if we had the time tonight, could testify how that not only did Jesus save us, but he changed us for the good. For the good. And so, just like these men were winners, we need to be winners. We need to get people to Jesus so that Jesus can do what only Jesus can do. Save them and change them. So tonight, I want to tell you why they were winners. And I want to suggest to you that if we do these same things, we can be winners like they were. Number one, and there's five things, but point five has four subpoints, so there's really nine things I'm going to give you tonight. Not only double your money's worth, triple your money's worth, but I'm going to try to be done a little bit early tonight. Number one, these men were winners because they attempted the impossible. They were winners because they attempted the impossible. Here was a man sick of the palsy. He could not move. He was paralyzed. I mean, when there was nothing that he could do to help them get him to Jesus. I think he was laying on a mat of some kind. I think these four men each took a corner. One at each corner. And they picked him up. Dead weight. Dead weight. And they carried him to the place that Jesus was. Jesus was in a house. The Bible says that that house was jam-packed full. They were overflowing out the door into the yard. There were people standing next to every window. There was not a cubic a centimeter that was available for anybody to stand. That house was full so that there was no room for anybody else to get in. Now these men, after carrying this one, came to this place. And they looked at it. They looked at the house. I said, there's no way that we're going to get this person to Jesus. I mean, Jesus was in the center of the home. Everybody was gathered about him. Nobody wanted to give up their place. Everybody wanted to hear him. And when these men came upon that scene, they said, man, this is impossible. I mean, we can't go through the door. We can't go through the window. There's no way that we're going to get our friend to Christ. But they did not let that stop them. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. But they said, no, we came with the purpose of getting this one that's paralyzed, this one sick of the palsy, to Jesus. Even though we're tired from carrying this dead weight, even though there's not a way that we can see to get him to Christ, we're not going to give up. I would submit to you tonight that some of the people that you've witnessed to, you've been witnessing to for years and years and years and years. You've invited them to church. You've given them a tract. You've written letters to them. You've told them over and over and over again how much Jesus loves them. You've told them that you've repeated the gospel and maybe taken them down the Romans road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you've taken them down, maybe those verses, or maybe you use John 3:16, or maybe you use some others that different people use to invite them to come to Christ. And you've witnessed, and you've prayed, and you've begged, and you've asked over and over and over again. And maybe you're at the point now where you say, this person, maybe a loved one, maybe a friend, maybe a distant relation, but you're to the point where you say, this person is never going to get saved. It's impossible. They're so hard-hearted. They've heard the gospel over and over and over again, and I don't think there's anything that can break the shell of their heart that's keeping them from asking Jesus to be their Savior. And you say, I just don't see how it can happen. It's impossible. I want to tell you tonight, don't quit. Don't stop. We have a God that specializes in the impossible cases. There used to be a TV show on a long time ago, Mission Impossible. That could be God's tagline. When the mission is impossible, when it looks like it can't be done, when it looks like you've exhausted every possibility, that's when our God can step in and do something so that we know He's God. Amen. Now, when they came to that house and they saw that it was jam-packed full, they could have said, hey, we'll come back another day. There's no room for us to get in. But they didn't say that. They said, no, we're gonna find a way. We're going to keep going. We're going to do what we came to do. We're going to get this person to Jesus. And I would submit to you that the God hasn't changed. He's still the God that does the impossible. And what He did that day in the city of Capernaum to this one that was sick of the palsy, He can do to our sons and our daughters and our spouses and our grandmas and our grandpas and our friends and our neighbors, to every single person that we know that need Jesus. If they're an impossible case, we got a God that can win them and get them and forgive their sins and take them to heaven. So they were winners because He attempted the impossible. Number two, they were winners because they overcome great difficulties. They did have to carry Him. They didn't have a stretcher. They didn't have a wheelchair to put Him in. They carried Him. And they did. When they got to that house, they had to figure out a way to get through the crowd. You see, their difficulties that they saw were not roadblocks. They were stepping stones. They weren't weighed down by their difficulties. They were lifted up. For every obstacle, they found a way around it. For every detour, they found a way. Let me remind you tonight that character is not built on the freeway. Character is built on the detours of life that take us through the winding, hilly roads where we go up and down and around. And Jesus, in sending us on those detours, is building character. Character is not built on the mountaintops, it's built in the valleys. And some of the greatest opportunities that we have to witness is not when we're on the mountaintop, it's when we're in the valley. It's not when we have plenty, it's when we don't have anything. Because when people can look at you and they can see you overcoming the difficulties in your life, when they can look at you and say, man, look at what that person is going through, they still have a smile on their face. They still have joy in their heart. They still have a lift in their step. And they're going through all this trouble and all these trials and all these difficulties. Whatever they have, it's real. Whatever they have, it works. And I don't know what it is, but I want it. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's the one that gives me a smile on my face when I'm in the valley. He's the one that puts joy in my heart when I'm on a detour. He's the one that puts a lift in my step when I have to go through the briar patch to get to the other side. I mean, and the difficulties is what makes us winners. Look, if you're at a sporting event and the other team doesn't show up, and you win by forfeit, you win, well, that's a hollow victory. I mean, nobody looks and says, boy, look at the winners. No, it's when you fought the fight and dug in and banged heads, if you're playing football or hockey, and executed the game and won, that's, and overcome the difficulties, that's true winners. And these men were winners. Because even though Satan, and by the way, that's who puts difficulties and obstacles in our path when we're trying to bring somebody to Jesus, is Satan, because he doesn't want it to happen. But when they overcame difficulty after difficulty after difficulty and accomplished their task of getting this person to Jesus, the world could look at him and God could look at him and say, hey, there's four guys that are winners. They're winners. Number three, they were winners because they were willing to act in an extreme manner. They couldn't get in through the door. The doors, I mean, they were overflowing the house. They were pouring out every door. Front door, back door, side door, however many doors they had. They couldn't get in through the windows. I mean, I think people were sitting in the windows. People were leaning in the windows. People were outside, gathered around all the windows. They couldn't get through the windows. So they said, well, let's go up on the roof. We can't get through the door. We can't get through the window. Let's go up on the roof. What they said was, whatever it takes, even if it's extreme, even if it's unusual, even if it's never been done before, even though people may look at us and say, man, you're crazy or you're in a cult, even though it takes whatever it takes, they said, that's what we're going to do. If you're going to be a winner when it comes to bringing people to Christ, sometimes you have to go to the extreme. Remember when the father brought his son to the disciples and said, my son has a demon. And the disciples tried to cast him out, and they couldn't. And Jesus was coming down from the mount. He'd been with Peter, James, and John, where he was transfigured before them. And this father came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I brought to you my son. He has a demon, throws him into the fire, throws him into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't help. Can you? Jesus said, I can. And he cast the demon out of the boy. And the disciples came to him later and said, well, Master, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus says, this kind cometh forth only by prayer and fasting. Now, prayer is one thing. But prayer and fasting? Some people might think that that's extreme. I mean, these men said, hey, whatever it takes. We can't get in through the door. We can't get in through the window. If it takes going up on the roof and tearing the roof off, that's what we're going to do. How far are you willing to go? That one you've been praying for and witnessing to for a long time. Just give them track after track. You've written them letters. You've begged. You've cried. And they've rejected Christ. How far are you willing to go? Say, well, I'll knock on the door. And I might go through the window. But man, people think I'm crazy. And I'm speaking figuratively here. Now, you just stay with me. People think I'm crazy if I go up and tear the roof off. I talked to Adam last night. They're having Goldfish Sunday today on their bus. And I said, are you going to swallow a goldfish? He said, yeah. I said, you're crazy. Do you ever think what would happen if that goldfish got caught in your esophagus? I said, you could choke to death. I said, what about Chantel? Is she going to swallow goldfish? She said, yeah, but for the girls, they cut carrots up to look like goldfish. And then they reach in the bag and they chew them up. And all the kids on the bus think the girls are braver than the boys because they chew them. Now, some people might look at that and say, that's crazy. Swallowing goldfish, chewing on goldfish. Yeah, it's extreme. But I tell you what, they probably had a lot of boys and girls saved today on their bus. Because they wanted to see somebody come swallow a goldfish. And they got told about Jesus and they got saved. There are going to be some people that you won't get by just prayer. It'll take prayer and fasting and going after them in unusual, extreme ways. But if we're going to be winners, that's what we've got to do. Number four, they were winners because they worked as a team. I want you to think about it. It took all four of them. This guy was laying on a mat. They had to have a guy at each corner. One, two, three, four. Two couldn't do it. Three couldn't do it. Took all four of them. If one guy quit carrying his corner, they couldn't go any further. God needs everybody to do their part. Paul said over in Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. You see, we're in this together. We're in this together. Some here are good planters. They take the seed and they plant the gospel seed in people's lives. Some are good waterers. They come along and nurture that seed. Some are good hoers. Some are good weeders. You just make the analogy yourself. But we're a team. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. Have you asked somebody else to pray with you about that one that you've been praying for so long? Maybe somebody else's prayers joined with you can make the difference. Have you asked somebody to go see that person that you've worked on for so long that's rejected Christ? Maybe somebody else could go and take a different approach than you tried and win them to Christ. Everybody needs to do their part. Everybody needs to play their part. And then number five, they were winners because they had winner traits, characteristics. Four of them. Number one, they were compassionate. In Jude, verse 22, the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Jude was talking about people going to hell, and he said, look, on some, all it takes is for somebody to have compassion on them, to make a difference about where they spend eternity. Here's four guys. Neither of them were sick. And yet they saw this one sick of the palsy and they had compassion on him. Compassion is seeing a need and responding from the heart. They saw that he was sick. And from their heart, they said, Jesus could help this man. Let's get him to Jesus. They weren't doing it for the money. They weren't doing it for the fame. They were doing it because here was a person that had a need that they saw, and they said Jesus could help them. All of us know people that are sick. Sin sick. And we know the one that has the cure. We know the one that has the medicine. That's Christ. Now, I mentioned this morning, why don't Christians witness? One of two reasons. Number one, we don't believe there's a hell. Or number two, we don't care. Now, there is a hell. Whether you believe it or not, there is a hell. I think it comes down because we don't care. We don't have compassion. And if we're going to be winners, then every single person we see that's sick of sin, we need to have compassion on them and take them to Jesus. So they had compassion. Number two, they had vision. Book of Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I know that's talking about having dreams and about having goals. But I want you to think about it in this context. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here were four men that had a vision. They saw this one that was sick of the palsy. And their vision was, man, I can see him well. I can see him saved. I can see him with his sins forgiven if we can just get him to Jesus. Now, if they didn't have that vision, that person would have died and gone to hell. And in the same way, we look at people that we come in contact with, and what do we see? Well, sometimes we see wickedness. Sometimes we see rejection of God. Sometimes we see people that make fun of the Bible and have no time in their life for the Bible or the things of God. But how does God see them? He sees him as a child that needs a Savior. And if we could start looking at people like God looks at them, here's one of my children that's gotten way off base and they're headed to hell. I can see them after God gets done with them. I can see them after they get saved. I can see them after God changes their life. I can see them after God cleans them up. I can see them being used of God in a mighty way. We look at people and we say, there ain't no hope for that bird. He's wicked. He's vile. God couldn't use him. God never gives up on anybody. He says, yes, I can. I can. If you just see that person through my eyes, if you'd see that person with a never-dying soul, if you see that person after I make that wonderful change in his life, then you get him to me. So where there is no vision, the people perish. And a lot of people perish and go to hell because we can't see the vision that God has for their life. Number three, they had faith. All four of them had to have faith. They believed, their faith was, that if they could get this man to Jesus, Jesus could help him. Faith is not thinking, I think I can do this. Faith is knowing that God can do it. And so when they picked them up and they started toward the house where Jesus was, there was no doubt in their mind. They knew something was going to happen if they could get him to Christ. They knew something good was going to happen if they could come into the presence of Christ. And we need to have that same faith. We give up on people too quick. Can God help them or not? We can't. That's for sure. Some of us have tried a long time to change people. Some of you have been working on your spouses for years and years and you ain't had no... just teasing. But God can change people. God can change them. You believe that he can do it, you get people to Christ. And then finally, they had determination. Determination. They said, we're going to get this man to Christ. They had to carry him. He was dead weight. I don't know how far they had to go, but they carried him every step of the way. When they came to the house and saw that they couldn't get in through the door, through the window, and they decided to go up on the roof, they had to carry him up on the roof. Now, most of the houses back then had steps along the side. They didn't have to try to get him up a ladder. But it was still difficult to carry this dead weight with a man on each corner. The steps probably weren't very wide. But it was, so it would have been difficult to carry this man up on top of the roof. When they got on top of the roof, did you ever stop to think? And I know I have weird thoughts sometimes. What did they use to tear the roof off with? I mean, did they have their hammer with them? Did they have their crowbar with them? Probably not. I think they dug into it with their fingers. I think they began to pull tile at a time, and they dig into whatever substance the roof was made out of, and they dug through it with their fingers. Where'd they get the rope? Did one of them say, just a minute, I know a guy that lives in the house over here, a couple houses down. I'll go borrow some rope. They were determined. Too many times when Satan puts up a roadblock, we stop. We say, well, God must not want it. God wants it. Satan's the one that doesn't. And so if we don't have the holy determination that says, hey, I set out to get this person to Christ, I'm going to get him to Christ. Satan, you can throw up any obstacle you want, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going, just like that little bunny on a battery. I'm going to just keep going and going and going and going and going until I get them to Jesus. Because Jesus can help them. Jesus can save them. Jesus can change their life. You want to be a winner? I want to be a winner. I don't care about winning. Well, you know I like to win, so I'm not going to say that. I like to win. Everything I do, I like to win. But I tell you what, this is the most important event that we're in. winning and bringing people to Christ is more important than winning in anything else you do. Sing the song this morning, Rescue the Perishing. Let me read you the last verse. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. That's what we need to do. We need to be winners when it comes to bringing souls to Christ. And we can if we'll follow these men's example. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for the story and the example that they set for us. And I pray that we'd be more like them, that we'd be winners in this task that you've given us to do of bringing people to you. And I pray for every Christian that are here. I pray, Father, that we'd be encouraged to go out and do what you've called us to do. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Christ as their Savior. Help them to understand that they're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Help them to understand there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is death and eternal separation from you in that place that really exists called hell. And then, Father, I pray you'd help them understand that when Christ went to the cross, he took all of their sin upon himself and paid for it, paid the price, suffered their hell. And he offers to every single person the penalty or the payment for their penalty. He offers to every single person a home in heaven. He offers to every single person forgiveness for sins. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's not for sure that they know Jesus as their Savior, tonight you'll help them make that decision to receive Christ. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. First, in his name we pray. Amen.